Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me to reprise his role as my co-host, the man himself, Stephen Weasel Hurley. Weasel Weasel!
Yeah, boy!
Oh, he's back in the house, and it feels so good. No problem with talking to Big TJ last week. That was fantastic radio, and, well, hey, let's put it this way. It's no accident I went about 25 minutes over last week. My bad. Drew and John just said to the college cram, but I see, I'm talking about Big TJ being on here last week, Weasel, and you're nodding your head, you're like, yeah, boy, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, y'all got a good rapport, so it was quite entertaining.
Word. So. Amen. You know how, you've seen how me and Chris have been hanging out over the years, and you know, big men support each other, and mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Chris went and lost a bajillion pounds and went to be a firefighter, and all that, and so he's not a big man that supports me anymore, but we still support each other because we've known each other so long. But that big man void still filled in by Big TJ of Go Podcast last week, so a good time all the way around because he certainly helped me bring football talk just the way you, and I don't mean just you, Weasel, but everybody's listening, football talk just the way you like it here on the NG. And of course, a little bit of a shout out to Rodney Fisher with the Real Fan Sports Network, letting us talk to you there in Dallas, by the way, here on Tuesday nights with this pre-recording. Something I was thinking about, too, because I will go on these random musings every now and again. And Weasel, I was working on the Matchup Mania last week, as I do every week, trying to offer the people of the NFL public the public service of knowing which games you should pay the most attention to. Which, by the way, I apologize for putting the Titans and the Colts in the honorable mention section. They were not a featured game, but considering that Andrew Luck has a number of comeback wins against them already, I thought this one would at least be kind of close, but no, not really. But while writing that, writing this past week's Matchup Mania, I obviously did a piece for the Eagles 49ers game. And you're aware that when you're typing things out, I often use my iPad. You know, this is totally first world problems, by the way. I'm not actually complaining, but I just found it funny, right? I type out, you know, Niners, right? N-I-N-E-R-S, right? Makes sense so far. You know, you're following me. It doesn't make sense out there. But it auto-corrected it to Miners, M-I-N-E-R-S, as in someone who mines. But then I really thought about it. Is that actually a misspelling? Right? Because a 49er is one who panned for and mined for gold, is it not? So, is it a misspelling or an alternative?
Yes. Makes you think.
During that silence where we paused, there's no warfare or fireworks going on outside. That's the sound of mines everywhere being blown. Right? Trying to tell you. Hey. You know, we try to keep it somewhat smart on this show. We don't just talk a bunch of crap or, yeah, actually, I'm not going to put it any different. Like, that's exactly what it is. We Student of the Game, we don't talk crap.
Wow.
Well, okay, just Weasel. But you love it, though. We all love it, man. It's all right. Anyways, speaking of crap, what in the crap happened on Thursday night, bro? Can we talk about that for just a minute?
Yeah, thrashing.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the Giants on the road, they crushed their division rivals, the Redskins, 45-14.
That's a lot.
And we got the Redskins quarterback. We got Kirk Cousins started the last two games.
Well, according to you know, what is it, Broadway Joe, I don't believe I'm forgetting this guy's name, but he should be forgotten because he's the worst freaking Hall of Famer quarterback, in my opinion, that's there. All I can think of is Joe Theismann. I know that's not even correct. But Broadway Joe, I'll put it that way, he's the best quarterback. He's the best option for the Washington Redskins. He's better than RG3. Sliced bread, I tell you, sliced bread. Anyways, well, how'd that go, Weasel?
Going along those lines, well, Kirk Cousins, weeks 2 and 3, 5-1. Five touchdowns, one interception. He kind of had some reality set in, and he had one touchdown to 4 INTs and lost a fumble. So, now if you got to choose between, you got RG3, Robert Griffin III, just for this season, assume that both of them are healthy. You had to choose between him and Kirk Cousins as your franchise quarterback. Who do you got?
Not Joe Namath, because he's not picking who my quarterback is ever again for trying to tell me that Kirk Cousins is the man. So it's you got RG3, you got Cousins, and who's the other one?
No, RG3 or Cousins.
Damn. Here's the thing. Because he's as hurt as he is, that choice is kind of made for them. I think it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. In that, I think you do better in playing Cousins at this point, not just because of the injury. Because I think at this point, all the damage to RG3 is going to be done. I'd really need to look at his contract a little bit more closely to answer this.
He's got like a third round contract. I think it was his.
Cousins is fourth round, but I'm talking about RG3's contract. That's gotcha. A good point. But I'm in a different direction.
Yeah, I think it's up there.
And yeah, well, moreover, though, is it done this year is my question. And I haven't looked that up yet because, hey, you came up with an awesome question. I just wasn't as ready for it. But I can't see. Look, the Giants defense isn't striking me as a behemoth, something that's an unstoppable force. And a lot of throws were just straight up missed by Cousins, in my opinion, based off of what I saw. But by the same token, he goes out and has one bad night. I'm not ready to sell the farm yet. And you already have one quarterback whose confidence is smashed. Why? Because we started Kirk Cousins. I know it's because he's hurt, yada, yada, yada. Fine. But if you sit Cousins at this point, theoretically, if RG3 were well this week, which he's not, I think you go on to damage your other asset at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's where I mean, who would you start?
Well, it's the kind of thing...
This is what makes horse races. I know that, but...
Yeah. It's tough to pick against RG3, but I'd say I'll get RG3.
You would start him?
It's a big risk, but Kirk Cousins, I kind of see him kind of more like a Matt Schaub. So...
That's a bad thing? I mean, well, granted, look...
Well, late, a little bit early, but...
It depends on how you're defining Matt Schaub, too. If you're defining Matt Schaub as he's still currently the best option to back up a Michael Vick type... That's one thing. If you're talking about Matty Pick Six, that is completely another. So, yeah, I we have two different generations of Schaub here. That's great. Not really.
So on the for the Giants, Eli Manning, he had a pretty respectable game. 300 yards, 5 touchdowns, one of which was rushing in an INT. Now, is that the kind of thing that he'll build upon, or will he fall back into his failing ways?
And that's a great question. And what's the one thing that he's had both the past 2 weeks in these two Giants wins?
Yeah, like people catching the ball.
True. And indeed.
And some defense.
Kinda. Okay. I mean, look, slowing the Texans offense, not really my idea of a great time. And they did subdue J.J. Watt somewhat. He had the only sack on the game for the Texans. Don't worry. We'll talk radio plenty about my boy later. What I'm trying to say is the past 2 weeks, the running game, an absolutely ridiculous factor for the Giants. Just to give you a picture, 28 carries for the Giants, 143 yards. Leading rusher was Andre Williams with 15 for 66, Rashad Jennings 13 for 55, and a Peyton Hillis sighting, 8 carries for 31 yards. The running game also produced 2 touchdowns. You mentioned Eli running in as well. If you can get that kind of support every week, because think about it. When the Giants won the Super Bowls, running backs go.
Maybe not by Bradshaw and the other two guys. They were like...
Brandon?
Oh, Jacobs.
Very good. Brandon Jacobs. And Derek Ward as well. Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's right? It.
And they didn't... I don't think they had Ward for the second one. But Ahmad Bradshaw, kind of a big deal. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Most definitely.
And but proof of there is that support. And so... It could be true that the Giants just needed a couple more weeks. But then again, we're back to the fact that it's the damn Giants. There's a reason why I picked them to go 8-8 and 3-3. A box of chocolates, according to Forrest Gump, is more predictable than the freaking New York Giants. I have no idea what they're going to do next week. But we'll talk more about that later. Anyways.
Now, this guy right here.
This guy.
I never heard of him, and I think a lot of people have been, but... In the fantasy world, yeah, people are paying attention. You got Giants tight end Larry Donnell.
Larry Donnell, yep.
He had 7 receptions for 54 yards, and I think it was like 3 touchdowns.
Only 3? Fire him. So, he caught the ball 7 times and had 3 touchdowns.
I think he's a tight end. I believe he's like 6'6", then 245 and stuff, but he's like, you know, clearly a red zone target. But we have a lot of those fantasy heroes 1 week, and then they just disappear for the rest. Is this guy, is he a fluke, or is he the real deal?
Look, if you're expecting 3 touchdowns from him every week, slow your damn roll. That being said, if Ruben Randle's and Victor Cruz, Ruben Randle, I should say, are pulling people back, that underneath option, epic. They don't have Dominique Hickson or anyone like that to fill the void for that third receiver. Maybe. 3 touchdowns every week? Hell no. Let slow your roll. However, if you're looking for a tight end and you ain't got one, and you're in a league like the one I know you participated in the past that has 2 tight ends, for example, mm-hmm. or a flex, it's not a bad plan. If you're desperate for the spot, you know, if you were dumb enough to think that drafting a running back in the back of the first round is still a good idea, for example. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Anyways. So, next game we got here on the docket, the Miami Dolphins faced off against the Oakland Raiders, which, first of all, I think someone in the Raiders front office said, ugh, things just can't get any worse. Well, yeah, they did. Derek Carr got hurt in this game. 38-14 was the victory for the Miami Dolphins. I'm going to ask you, Weasel, and I'm not sitting here telling you he had a great performance per se. 23 for 31, 270 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. With 5 carries for 35 yards as well. Ryan Tannehill, I'm not going to tell you that he's everything he should be for the Dolphins to be a great team. But does this game start to prove that he may not be as much the problem as people imply?
Well, yeah, you mentioned the stats and stuff, and it's pretty respectful. And you got, in the past, I think it's just that they paid so much money for Mike Wallace.
Yes.
And, I mean, he can get like a wide receiver like him, I would say, not over $10 million. But the thing about it is that that's a weapon you got.
Yes.
I think he's a tight end position. It'll take time. I think it's
Charles Clay isn't bad.
Yeah. But this right here, I think Tannehill, it'll get some people off his back. Because, I mean, respectable game. But it was against the Raiders.
And that's really the best defense, what I say. Dude, it's that Raiders. Stop it. Okay. But again, I think Dolphin fans, when has this kid had an opportunity to develop? Seriously. With all the stuff that happened with the O-line last year with the incognito gate or whatever the hell we're calling it now, which, by the way Jonathan Martin's been playing in San Francisco, I'm not saying it's right, but I can see why people were feeling like Jonathan Martin may need to be coached up in toughness a little bit. That all being said, I mean, you have that situation going on in your locker room. How are you supposed to develop as a rookie? Get out of my face. No. Dolphins fans. And that's what's worse about it, Weasel, is Dolphins fans are the ones that are harshest on Tannehill, in my experience. But
well, let's consider that is a considering their franchise has trouble finding that quarterback, and they don't. I mean, this is right now the guy, and most likely will be.
John Beck, Cleo Lemon, so, Jay Field. Jay Fiedler, and more. I could go on.
All I'll say is
Chad Pennington.
As long as you win, then you're okay. People, you know, like when you start losing and people start blaming the quarterback, the most popular guy is the one on the bench type of thing. But I mean, they got a big win, and we'll see next week.
As long as you keep winning, the best metaphor for that, basketball and Jeremy Lin. All I do is lean, 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 no matter what. You know who's sung that lately? Nobody. And I'm not even counting me. I'm just saying, you know. By the way, if you watch a lot of basketball involving a point guard that's gone from New York to Houston to other places, you might be suffering from Linfluenza. Boom! I know it's a football show, but whatever, that's funny. Anyway, speaking of things that were funny, anybody who actually thought the Jaguars would have a chance against the Chargers just because they're starting Blake Bortles. Guys, stop it. Stop it. No, no. Don't look at me like that, Weasel. There were these people on Facebook that are trying to tell me, oh, it's a new era in Jacksonville. Slow your roll. I still maintain it's very likely you're making a mistake putting this kid out there at this point. I don't know. I'm not going to say he did bad. His numbers, certainly not impressive. 29 for 37, which is a good percentage. 253 yards, a touchdown, two INTs, not to mention his first quarter, 15 for 18. That's pretty ridiculously good. However, the Jags went scoreless in the second half. That is ridiculously ungood. Both times he was in the red zone, he scored, while the Chargers went 0 for 4 in the red zone. I can't front on that. I mean, he had a better third down percentage as well than Phillip Rivers. He went 9 for 14, while Rivers went 9 for 16 on third down conversions. I'm going to say he did a good job, but Weasel, since you weren't here last week, Big TJ and I talked about the concept of it still just being too soon for Bortles. Are you on that train?
Bortles, he's, when I, you know, observing him, I was a season ticket holder at UCF, so I got to see him a good number of times.
Yeah.
Bortles is the kind of guy that where he's, if you're like a touchdown behind or something like that, late in the game, the guy is pretty clutch. I think in this game, though, it's like, you know, you get so far behind.
Yeah.
And the expectations are so high because he was number 3 overall pick. So that's, you know,
yeah,
pretty up there.
Yeah.
But I think Jags fans at least need to, you know, step a little bit back because the guy is, it's the fourth week. So, but there was reason for hype with him because, you know, it's physical qualities is everything you want in a quarterback. He's like that prototypical quarterback, but that whole thing with the mental aspect of the game, understanding, you know, blitz packages and all that, I think, you know, that's going to take some time. But if his offensive line can help him out, then, you know, that would be good. And another thing is with you got the suspended wide receiver, Justin Blackmon. He was supposed to be like one of his, you know, number one target right
even
there.
Still, though, he's making a difference with Cecil Shorts and Hearns, I believe is his name, too. The other rookie out of the U of M there, too. They've got another rookie receiver whose name's currently escaping me out of USC as well. He's making a difference. He's finding the targets. Blackmon is a worthy target, but I guess at this point it would be nice to have him. I see what you're getting at, but I'm just trying to say he's aight.
All I'm saying is that those three names, I think, did you kind of follow them before this year? Have you, like, you heard of, like, Hearns or anything like
Cecil
that?
Cecil Shorts the third? Hell
well,
yeah.
Cecil, yes. But otherwise.
Well, I'm pretty sure Chris would know who they are.
Well, it's like not last year you got, you know, they weren't really
Marquise
on the radar.
Lee was a big deal at USC. And again, yeah, both rookies. That's the thing.
Yeah. So.
And of course they weren't. They're rookies. But you know who one guy whose credibility has gone up in Jacksonville now that Bortles is starting?
Who? Yeah?
You should know that. I love BTR. Anyways, what?
The fans will pay to see him, so.
Yeah. No, they will not pay to see. Oh, you mean Bortles. You almost made me push it again.
I think he was a good pick for him.
Speaking of good picks, seems like the Vikings finally took my advice and started a rookie of their own this week. We want Theodore. Clap, 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 clap. Teddy Bridgewater, when it comes to starting other quarterbacks like Matt Castle, that castle is under the bridge. Water. Damn it.
Well, I think the difference, because pretty much for Jacksonville, Henny was.
I don't want to hear about differences.
Henny was benched, correct?
The difference was 13 points, 41 to 28.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I'm asking for.
Henny was benched, you're correct.
Yes, okay. Well, for Bridgewater, he was not really forced in there, but he. Cassell was out for the season.
Yeah,
so,
Castle got hurt.
So that's, we got right. The start. So you can say it. Teddy Bridgewater era has begun.
Boop, boop, boop.
So it's pretty crazy because he led the Vikings to a 41-28 home victory in his first NFL start.
You know what? I'm glad that you're not saying Tavares Jackson time anymore. No. Ever again.
Yeah, pretty much. Now that was out without some guy, Adrian Peterson. Yeah. So
you can't handle the truth.
Now, Bridgewater was 19 of 30, 317 yards, not sacked and turnover free.
Right.
He did run one in for a touchdown, and he
cool showed that
he
too,
can,
by the way.
He could show that he could scramble, and a lot of times when he's getting out of the pocket, he doesn't, you know, run first type of thing. He still looks downfield.
Yes.
And he got a boost from rookie running back Jerick McKinnon. I believe that guy was, he's about like, I think 5'8", 5'9", but the guy is very fast, and he's one of those, like a workout warrior type. I think it was, he got, how many reps was it, like 25 or so or something like that.
25 at 225 at the combine?
He's, I think it was high. I don't know the exact amount, but the guy is like one of those physical freaks type of thing.
Yeah, well, a running back getting 25, I mean, dude, that's.
No, he was up there, yeah.
He should be shouting at Aaron Rodgers, row, row, row your boat gently down the loser stream. It works because they're in the same division. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. So actually, that maybe next week he'll shout that at him. There's your spoiler for the study hall. Boom.
So he did run for 135 yards, and you have Matt Asiata. That at first I was like Asiago cheese, but no. He had 78 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah. Hey, who wants some touchdowns? How about we sprinkle a little Asiata on top? Make it melt. That was from the hip. You like that?
The thing about this is that you got Bridgewater, you got Cordero Patterson.
Yes.
And you got McKinnon and Asiata. Well, they're looking pretty good. It's just, can you imagine like a Bridgewater, Peterson, Cordero Patterson? Maybe even Kyle Rudolph.
You don't
that
need
in there.
AJ Peterson. You just sprinkle some Asiata on the top. I told you. Put that on a sandwich, son.
Not bad. I like that. So, I don't know. I think Peterson's pretty much done with the Vikings, at least.
Yeah, no.
It's really sad, but Bridgewater, all throughout the game, yeah, they were like chanting his name. And
we want Theodore.
It's like the guy got, I mean, you know, Minnesota fans, and Culpepper was their last kind of...
Let's all adore Theodore. Huh. I mean, it's not as good as I'm hot for Farrah, but...
Yeah. So, it's too bad, but the Falcons, I mean, you had Matt Ryan, he had like 2 interceptions, and they didn't look as good. Like last week, they were, I think they crushed the Bucks, but
yeah,
this week, it's like the Vikings had them.
Hey, by the way, Weasel, I have a demand. Not just a request, but a demand. If Bridgewater ever scores more than 2 touchdowns in a game, we must refer to that state of being as Theodore Galore.
Okay.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Anyways, something else I need to say you're welcome for is being dumb enough to pick against Steve Smith playing against his old team. Look, I wrote this up. I would need to go to ngscsports.com and write my things I don't get about NFL, or rather read what I wrote about the things I don't get about the NFL series, where I wrote asking of the Panthers, why on earth did you get rid of this man? And you're still asking that question. And I even said it in the matchup mania last week. This man is going to go crazy. Kelvin Benjamin will do something to remind you that he's the man in Carolina, and he should be. But Steve Smith is going to make you pay for it. And that he did.
Well, you got... I think it would have been a lot more awesome if he was in Carolina. Because the fan, you get the fans in there, too, but...
Yeah,
no,
I think... Yeah, just stick... Ah, how you doing? My name's Steve Smith! Ah!
Yeah, Steve Smith, he's 35 years old.
Yes,
he's
he is.
Getting a little bit up there, but the guy talks trash.
He doesn't
and
look like it.
He backs it up, so...
Well, he didn't talk an ounce of trash. At the press conference, he says he has nothing extra to say, and he just, you know, he had nothing to say about it. Just really went out there and played football. And then talked about taking it to the young kids.
Exactly. And so he did get revenge on his former team.
Oh, gosh, yes.
38-10 home victory over the Panthers.
You happen to have Steve Smith's number?
7 catches, 139 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And I'm pretty sure pretty much all of that, I think, was in the first half.
Yeah.
So the thing that... it was crazy. They, I think, on the down the left sideline, I think a wide receiver or a defensive end tipped the ball.
That would be the tight end Owen Daniels. Yes. You're referring to.
So he tipped it, and guess who just whoop grabs it, runs it in for a touchdown.
Something tells me you're not talking about Jacoby Jones.
Yeah. But so I mean that was pretty, you know, pretty crazy, and Steve Smith is a character, so he's entertaining to watch, but he was allegedly talked of
allegedly
Cam Newton and some negative things about him, like some
right.
he doesn't read offenses fast enough and certain things like against the quarterback. And it's like he left, and I think he was saying that like last season,
right? Well, and he was. I mean,
so
allegedly he was, and I mean, there's it's often been rumored that there's a rift there too. But in Steve Smith's defense, I mean, I had the same impression from listening to him operate too. Now, the difference was I realized that I was out of my damn mind, and that's the single biggest missed prediction I've had as a student of the game is that Cam Newton will flop. Boy, what an idiot.
Well,
but
I don't know if he's playing injured now, or he I think it, earlier it was a rib, I believe.
His ribs and his ankle was acting up in the offseason as well.
He did have 197 yards passing.
He did.
Had a touchdown. I don't think he had any turnovers, but I mean, I think the injury, I think it can be, you know,
well,
hindering him,
right?
So, do you think they should? They did turn to him for, I think, about
towards the end, quarter, he threw like 9 passes.
You got, should they start Derek Anderson in front of Cam Newton? At least get the guy, he's having, you know, problems
but let me take a look at the study hall because that schedule will tell us who they're playing next week. And according to what I have here, the Panthers are playing the Bears. That's God, that makes it even harder. You know what? Let's save that for the study hall. It's a good question. Who do you start? I don't know, but it'll certainly, as I ponder that, because I'm looking for something to delay it, and waiting until the study hall is a good way to delay it. we can kind of talk it through there, and based whoever on you would start is probably going to alter your pick. But anyways.
A little bit of a rewind right here. Forgot to mention for the Vikings.
Yes.
Mr. Teddy Bridgewater.
Of course.
He did some scrambling, and one of them he did score a touchdown, and I think in another he was diving for, I think, the end zone.
Yes.
And a defensive player, I think, rolled up on his ankle.
Yeah.
And it looks pretty bad. So now.
Have you heard the latest on that?
What I've heard is that the MRI results were negative.
Right.
And they were saying they didn't say high ankle sprain, which is worse than, you know, normal
yes,
sprain.
Yes.
So I think they said he just sprained it. There was no structural damage to it.
Okay.
So sorry, forgot to mention that.
No, not at all. And actually, you know, it'll be interesting to see if that does affect him next week against the Pack.
That's huge, huge. So looking forward to it.
And let's go ahead and get one more game in before the break, and that would be the Saints and the Cowboys. You know, Weasel, you and many other people have heard me use the comically silly analogy for the Saints that they're the prom date team. They know how to score, and ain't no one stopping them from doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently that prom date is aged them because they're also having a little bit of trouble scoring. They really got whooped by the Cowboys. Do you have the final score on that? I got it. Excuse me.
Yeah.
38-17. Duh. I can't read my own writing. 38-17. That is what they commonly refer to as a beatdown where I'm from. You know, over the past couple weeks, first of all, the Cowboys opened the season losing to, the Niners convincingly. They beat the Titans after that. And then they beat, who was the other powder puff they beat? Oh, yeah, the Chiefs. They beat the Chiefs. And now they've worked up the Saints, which, by my count, I'm considering starting a bullying campaign against the Cowboys because they only seem to beat up on lesser teams right now. All joking aside, I also can't help but notice that their beef is performing a bit better. Again, against weaker/injured defenses in the case of the Chiefs, who are missing, for example, Dexter Johnson at the linebacker spot, right? But
I think Derek Johnson.
Thank you.
Dexter.
Yeah, I always get that wrong. Derek Johnson, you're right. 24 carries for 149 yards was DeMarco Murray. The Cowboys as a unit, 35 carries, 190 yards and 5. That's pretty much 5 yards a carry, a little bit more than that, actually. When have you seen the Cowboys run like that when DeMarco Murray wasn't having one of those games like against the Rams a number of years back where he's just beating up on a weaker team? as a team, they threw that number out blocking, which isn't just a few big runs broken off. This is a consistent driving effort. 35 times, and you're averaging 5 yards a carry. That's not just a fluke. I don't care if there was one or two long ones broken off. Okay, fine. Come on, man. We say here on the student game all the time, if you could get at least 3 yards a carry, you're at least got a decent enough support, right?
Yeah.
And they run it 35 times to get five per. Look, nothing against Tony Romo. I don't mean it like that. He did a great job going 22 for 29 with three TDs. But look, hey, when you're not playing from behind, you do good. But the other thing, and I'll let you jump in right after this. I want to get this in there. I don't know how much of this game you watched. I didn't watch very much of it, I'll admit. But you know what I was able to take away from it? That defense was thudding. They were trying to hit catch. Just wow. Like the way you used to see it back in the 2000s when the Steelers won their second Super Bowl. They were whapping cats like that. You don't expect that from a Cowboys squad, especially when that was one of the third worst in history last year. That's not without Sean Lee and DeMarcus Ware. Dude.
They were holding him back.
No, but beyond that bit of awesome, what were you going to say? They're holding. Oh, hold on. They're holding him back.
That was awesome, bro. Yep, one good thing to note is that I look at the first quarter, the score for the Saints, 0. Second quarter, 0.
Yeah.
Score is 24-0 mm-hmm. By halftime. And about DeMarco Murray, I think last year and in his previous years, he's pretty inconsistent. Mm-hmm. You got a game where fantasy people are going crazy. Oh, he got 30 points or something like that. And then the following weeks, he would like disappear. But what's pretty interesting is that he's got at least a one touchdown in each game.
Sorry, it's because Blog Talk Radio took 5 hours to play it. It was supposed to happen sooner. But yeah, you would see, oh, look, DeMarco Murray got all these yards.
Well, he does have 4 straight 100-yard games.
Yes.
So 5 touchdowns. So
kind of a big deal.
We'll see if he keeps that up.
With that offense, other than Miles Austin departing and Martellus Bennett, what's different? Youth movement with the offensive line. And to be honest, I got to give props to my man EJ Christian, who I'm on his show every now and again, the Earnestly Speaking radio show on the Sports Chronicles radio network on Fridays 4 to 6. He and I were talking about the youth movement at the line being what the Cowboys need to do. Apparently it's paying dividends even sooner than I thought. And for the record, EJ's a Giants fan and he's throwing out these props.
Yeah, it's the one thing about the Cowboys now is that if they get a consistent running game, I mean, you're not, you know, putting the weight of the world on Tony Romo's shoulders,
right?
And because the guy, I mean, he could put up his own points too.
Yes,
but the pressure would be off him when he does have this running game, and that makes him such a much better player. In that he also, I think he tries to force things at times, and that's usually when they're down and no running
something.
Game.
Yeah.
So Romo's dangerous when he has a running game. So he'll make some teams pay.
And I could be remembering some of this wrong, but the last time the Cowboys were relevant, at least one member of that squad was Marion Barber, a pretty good runner.
And
so,
I don't know if you're... Okay, Maurice Claiborne,
the corner, yes, who was sat as a starter in favor of Orlando Scandrick, yes.
I think he... I'll have to look up the injury he had.
Well, Scandrick was the one who got hurt early on after he played one snap, pretty much. So after all that whining and crying that Claiborne did, apparently he saw time anyway. There's your reward. I don't know. Anyways, while you look that up.
Okay, well, I was just saying.
Ahead.
Okay, so he got a left knee injury. But Morris Claiborne, about 4 years ago, I think it was more like 2 or 3. He was like the number 4 overall pick or something, or the Cowboys moved up a lot for him. And I'm seeing stuff like ACL. I'm seeing different things.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and go to commercial real quick and give you some time to check it out. And we'll work from there in the conversation. We still got some other games to talk to. And the study hall, all that coming in the second half of the show. You're listening to the National Gridiron Network.
The National Gridiron Network. Join us as we tell you what is happening with your favorite team in the NFL or the NCAA. Listen in as we preview every football game week by week till the end of the season. Follow us at NationalGridironNetwork.com and read up on the latest that is happening across the football landscape. NGN, football talk, just the way you like it.
And we are back here on the National Gridiron Network, bringing you football talk just the way you like it here. I got to tell you, we were just talking about the Saints and Cowboys. And the Cowboys, I'm not as much a believer as most Cowboy fans that they're being revitalized. And, oh, 3-1, sliced bread. Move over, sliced bread. Here comes the 2014 Cowboys. No. Hold on. They are improved, and I got to be honest, I did not see them at 3-1, but nonetheless, they made it happen. Weasel.
I'll just say, Morris Claiborne out for the season with a torn patellar tendon.
So that will be an issue as they struggle to field a secondary at this point. Thus is the nature of football. Heck, that's part of the reason why the Falcons got blasted by the Vikings, tight end. I gotta read this name because
Rhett Ellison.
Well, that's when they got hurt. But Mike Tuiolololo, damn it, whatever. Him had to step in at right tackle as a tight end. So,
yeah,
you're right. Injuries, dude. It's that simple. It happens in this sport, man. Anyways, the big event of the week was supposed to be the Packers and Bears. How'd that go, Weasel?
Well, the Bears at home got embarrassed by their bitter rival.
Embarrassed?
Yeah, I like that.
Boom.
By their bitter rival, the Packers, 38-17.
They were so embarrassed they got sent packing. Boom!
So it was a tight game early on as the Bears were down before the half, 21-17.
Yes, that's a lot.
Now, I don't know if they told the Bears at the time, but there's a second half, too, that they needed to play. And the Packers had 17 unanswered points in the second half. So, interesting thing about this was that there were no punts in this game.
None.
Nil.
Zip. Zero.
Zilch.
Niente. Oh, he went Italian.
So, we got, and out of all those games the NFL's played, this happened only one time before. 92. Bills versus 49ers. So Packers drives. Touchdown, 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 field goal, touchdown, touchdown, miss field goal.
Okay.
The Bears got some touchdowns, but the difference in the game was touchdown, field goal, touchdown, interception.
Wah, wah.
Another interception.
Wah, wah.
And a failed attempt at fourth down. So it's the kind of thing. I mean, the Packers just, you know, finally clicked. I think Lacey wasn't doing good like the previous games and stuff. And so
the first time since the 90s that an NFL contest went punt free.
Yeah, it's you don't see that often. So
yeah, see that every day. No, you don't. Let me ask you this, Weasel. I looked at the stats and I turned it every which way I could. I put this one squarely on Cutler's shoulders. Obviously, the defense as well, because get a stop. But yeah, where are you on that?
It's well, the two interceptions by Cutler. Yeah. I think these were pretty bad ones. So, and the thing about Cutler is that the guy, like, he throws an interception, you know, it's like the kind of thing. Just don't think about it. You know, move on to the next drive.
Are you evoking quicksand?
Hey, it's just the thing is that he just, you know, mopes around like after an interception and stuff. He's gotta, you know, get pumped up because he's one of the leaders of the team. So.
You know, when you said get pumped up, I'm like, this is horrid, but like all I could think of is the damn Best Buy guy from the commercial years back. Yeah, yeah, I threw an interception. I'm on my fantasy team. Yeah.
Well,
I know that's ridiculous, but.
Well, it's you gotta show something. So
I got a nut suck. I don't know, dude. It's whatever. You know what's up. Anyways, yeah, so the Titans got their butts kicked by the Colts.
Yep.
You know, Sharona Fabulosa, I'm going to give you a big hug and also put you on notice at the same time because, somebody told me 10 games for the Titans.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no.
Well, they'll at least play 10 games. So.
We truly hope so. Yes, Weasel. Thank you.
So, yeah, they got crushed 41-17.
Speaking of playing games, have we actually seen Charlie Whitehurst start a game before? I'm sure it's happened at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. I think that was about the times of, I think, with Cutler and when he was drafted. So, but
yeah, there you go.
Looks like the Colts are giving running back Trent Richardson a chance to prove himself. They did give a first-round pick last year to get him, but he had 20 carries, 47 yards, but he did have a touchdown and four catches for 52 yards.
I mean, look, Titans fans, you do realize you just made T. Rich look kind of productive, right?
Yep.
Stop it.
And you got Andrew Luck. He had 393 yards, four touchdowns, and what's pretty cool is he's spreading the love. You got different receivers, but he also had an INT. So, yeah.
What?
Colts,
you mean he's going to score 50? Cut him.
Yeah, so.
You know what else needs to be cut? His beard. That's right. I said it. because beard jokes. That's all I got. Anyways. So, as far as things go, to go from epic dudes with beards to epic dudes who are clean shaven, bro, Bills Texans. Okay, look. I put this game on the Matchup Mania. I knew that we would come out of this game with somebody going 3-1 for two teams who we didn't expect to do this well. And I will give props and a half to my man G. Stelio, our AFC North writer, who made a prediction about the AFC South. So that's like literally the opposite of his expertise, right? Because he's NFC North, and this is the other conference in the opposite region of the North, right? The AFC South, right? And he's okay. Still done a better job so far predicting the Texans' success as a season. But you listened to me and Big TJ last week. Do you remember what I said about picking the Texans to win this game and why it would happen?
He's talking about J.J. Watt.
That's right. I said it.
Yep.
Who am I talking about?
J.J. Swat.
What?
What?
What? What? But why are you so excited? Look, dudes, okay, we all know I fell in love with J.J. Watt when he picked off that interception in the playoffs in against Andy Dalton in his first playoff, in both players' first playoff appearance. This is not a playoff appearance, but E.J. Manuel, as a second-year player, will forever remember the day he met J.J. Watt. Snags the ball out of the air on a screen pass to Fred Jackson and takes this mofo 80 yards. Now, points to Kareem Jackson, who was blitzing from the other side to actually kind of throw a block on E.J. Manuel. But I don't think it was necessary, Weasel. Tell us why.
Well, it's just J.J. Watt was, when he intercepted the ball, he was about the 20-yard line.
20-yard line, right.
And the thing about him is that the guy's pretty fast. He had a 4.78 40 when he was at the combine and stuff.
Bah! In my sleep.
I kind of was like, okay, I saw that he intercepted 20, so let's go 40 yards. Because the thing about him was that he was flying down the field. And you have a guy that's 6'5", 289 pounds doing that. The corners can really catch up to him.
So wait a minute. I got to wait. So he's flying down the field and he's running and all that. You know what that makes me think of, right?
Yeah.
There you go. So talk about J.J. Watt.
One thing that I'll say is that from the 20-yard line, 40 yards down the field, where it was about the 40-yard line on the other side, he ran that with pads in just under 5 seconds.
Well, Weasel, why mention the with pads part? Why is that so important?
In the combine and all, it's like, you know, you're in a like a athletic shirt and some
it's
shorts.
It's called the Underwear Olympics.
Yeah, so... But it was pretty impressive him flying down the field and not getting caught. So I thought that's pretty cool. And I think they become even more of a dangerous team when they get Jadeveon Clowney back.
Yeah, you know, and you talked about this before we started the show. Hey, run it away from J.J. Watt if you want to win. Yeah, you're not going to be able to do that so much with Clowney back.
Exactly.
That's a great point.
You got to pick your poison.
Oh, yeah.
So...
Actually, they'll pick it for you, I'm fairly certain.
Yeah.
You know, as I hear this music, I'm watching, I'm picturing J.J. Watt majestically running in the breeze with that interception. Ah, oh, yeah. That's a good time. What? Look, if you don't have... Everyone has a man crush on J.J. Watt. They just don't know it yet. Trying to tell you, Weasel. It's real like a heart attack, so... Anyways, I don't know. I'm talking about my man crush and heart attacks. It's just getting really awkward in here. Let's just get to the next game. By the way, that does put the Texans at 3-1. The Bills 2-2. Yeah, good times. Bucks Steelers. Or no, we don't. Next, we have the Jets and the Lions on the docket here. I was actually dumb enough to pick the Jets. That's a me problem. Why? Because Geno and interceptions and leading the corner, as Chris puts it, and all that. But, you know, you could respond, but Cal, it was still pretty close. 24-14 doesn't look like a big deficit, I will grant. It's not a big, or 24-17, excuse me. That's not a big deficit. Hell, that's a score, okay? But when you consider that Calvin Johnson was hurt and a shell of his former self, I can't get that stoked that it was even just kept close. I'm going to go out there and say that this is a game the Jets should have won. Matter of fact, you let Matt Stafford run in a touchdown. You know what? I'm going to end it on that. There you go. Unless you got something else?
No.
Okay. I got it. There you go. Boom. Bucks Steelers. Weasel.
Oh, yes. So, the Bucks on the road, you know, kind of an easy game to pick. I mean, you know, Steelers. Woo.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. On the road, they shocked the Steelers in Pittsburgh with a 27-24 victory. So, this game ended crazily. So
crazily.
Yeah, I got it.
I like it. I like it.
So, Steelers were up 24-20. They got the ball with 1:44 left at their own 14. So, they had a 3-and-out. Ooh. And then the punter, 29-yard punt. It's like, really, dude? Really? So they gave the Bucks the ball at the Steelers' 46-yard line. So you got 40 seconds remaining in the game. Bucks needed a touchdown to win. I kind of like those games, you know, where you know kick a field goal and tie it. This is like you need a touchdown.
Earn
stuff
it.
Like you know Brady couldn't do in a Super Bowl type of thing.
Oh,
so,
yeah, well, wow.
So
wow.
The thing about it was that 12 seconds remaining in the game, Steelers people
don't
are kind
me.
Of.
I'm marking that so I can get that clip. It was with 10:30 left in the no, go ahead.
It's so yeah, 12 seconds remaining. You got Mike Glennon. He threw the game winning touchdown to a diving Vincent Jackson. So it was pretty crazy and Pittsburgh kind of stunned. So Glennon threw for 50% completion percentage and he did have two touchdowns and an INT. But is the guy kind of the future for the Bucks, or just one of those guys that serviceable when he gets in the game type of thing?
Well, I can't confirm this, but it's been alleged that as Mike Glennon was running off the field, he looked Lovie Smith in the face and said, Josh McCown couldn't have made that throw. And I've
heard that Josh McCown has in his hand or some like torn ligament.
It's a torn ligament in the thumb.
So, yeah.
So he literally actually couldn't make that throw right now. But, I mean, look. You're asking the wrong guy because I wrote it in the things I don't get about the NFL series in the preseason that Glennon is indeed where the Bucks need to lean right now. Not so much because I think he's a great quarterback. It's because I think they're actually starting to get a young base that they can build around and do something with. And that defense has Gerald McCoy. And if they build around him with other solid players at other defensive positions, they could be a poor man's 2003 Bucks. Just throwing it out there. Anyways, no, I'm not saying they're going to the Super Bowl, but they have that kind of model if they keep building it. Anyways, the last game I wanted to look at, because it was such a ridiculous anomaly, was the 49ers over the Eagles. The Niners managed to win 26-21. But I think most of that is because the Eagles did not manage a single touchdown on offense. Well, how did they do that, Cal? They got 21 points. Great question. Here's how. Because blocked punt, because punt return, because interception return. Weasel, the Niners didn't deserve to win this game in my view. I'm not even going to dance around it. But when you turn the ball over four times like the Eagles did, and like the Niners defense forced, which, by the way, Antoine Bethea, damn. I knew he was good coming from Indy. I knew he'd be a good replacement for Dante Whitner when he left. But that was some pretty crazy stuff. Here's the reason why the Niners are still in trouble, if you ask me. 10 penalties for 80 yards. That's a lot, right?
Yeah, it's good amount.
It still marks a decrease from the past two games. The difference here this time is they're not doing it to convert third downs for the opponent anymore on defense. Instead, Colin Kaepernick had no less than 3 delay a game calls on him. And I think I remember at least 2 false starts. By my account, that's half the penalties on stupid BS. And you can't do that. Look, I've been the guy trying to explain to everybody that Colin Kaepernick is better than you think he is. He had a number of perfect passes that were dropped by his squad. And then he goes out and does something like this. Bro, I can't defend any quarterback that does that, let alone anyone who happens to play for the Niners or anybody else. I don't want to hear it. At the end of the day, I will give Kaepernick credit for being brave enough to throw a ball across the field for a 55-yard touchdown for Frank Gore. I'm serious. It's something that looked like something
I saw that one.
By you. Were you proud?
It was one of those, yeah, across the field passes, which usually it's not a good idea. You know,
nice throw, Cap. Don't ever do it again.
But I was thinking like more like Brett Favre in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah,
Peyton Manning had one of them. So. Kind of towards the end, a interception that was across his body.
But this wasn't an interception.
No, what I'm saying, though, is that they kind of failed. But the thing was, is he was wide open. So
well, and you know
he had some room for error.
What's the difference between Cap and Manning? He's a threat. Cap, or Manning and Favre, for that matter. Cap is a threat on the outside. Whole defense rolls. Well, hey, guess what? I'm not running. Psych! You know.
Gore was like, hey, over here.
Yo!
But
something like that.
Yeah.
And he ran a dude over, so I'm cool with that. But anyways, what do you got, Weasel? I see your...
Oh, LeSean McCoy.
Yes.
So, yeah, he got 1 fantasy point and...
10 carries, 17 yards.
This isn't very good. So he was asked following the Sunday's loss to San Francisco if he's healthy or not.
Uh-oh.
LeSean McCoy replied, it doesn't matter. That's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It does. I agree. And by the way, as a squad running the football, the Eagles, 12 carries for 22 yards. Nick Foles asked to do way too much, going 21 for 43. Not even getting 200 yards passing, not even getting 50% completion. Just a rough day all the way around if you happen to be Nick Foles. But not important. Chris has given us his picks. He is not in the lead. Weasel it. No. Wait. I have it wrong. Weasel, you're still 1 game down. I don't matter. I'm 4 games behind you, 5 behind Chris, because I went 4-8. No, wait. Do I have that? Let me make sure I get my amount of fail correct. Yeah. 4-8 last week. Now, y'all fools were 500. Fine. I suck.
I think it's kind of early in the season.
What is it? Like Rod Woodson said about his Raiders. We suck. And, you know, I have been down like this before to end up laying a whooping on you kids, but I'm still a little worried about me. I don't know. Anyways, let's go ahead and we'll go ahead and go through the schedule, man, just like we do here in these last few minutes of the show here. I got to find the – here we go. And we got about 5 minutes left here. So, without further ado – I'm so used to Chris doing this, having to do the actual sheet. But anyways, the study hall is in full effect. And the first game on the docket, led by the guy who's in the league, Chris, picks the Packers in the Vikings-Packer matchup. Weasel!
It's tempting to pick the Vikings in this, but I think the Packers will get it.
Yeah, you got the pack. You know what, Weasel? It's not just tempting, it's damn tempting. And if Bridgewater weren't dealing with an ankle injury and making me just trepidatious enough to avoid it, I had to pick the freaking Vikings. I have the pack, unfortunately. Bears-Panthers. Chris has the Bears. Weasel.
Yeah, Panthers. Just want to see more in offense from them. But, yeah, I definitely have the, you said Bears-Packers? What was
Panthers.
It?
Panthers.
Bears-Panthers?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the Bears.
Yeah, I got the Bears, too. Cam Newton's just too unpredictable with the injuries right now. Browns-Titans. Chris has the Browns. Weasel.
I got to get the Browns.
I do, too.
Their quarterback situation.
Yeah. Charlie Whitehurst. That's why. Period.
Yeah.
Okay. Rams-Eagles. Chris has the Eagles. Weasel.
Well, we'll see if the Eagles can bounce back, which I think they'll be all right. So, Eagles.
You know, I'll tell you. If there's a team that can look at what the 49ers did and use it as a blueprint towards victory, it would be the Rams. They won't. I got the Eagles. Falcons, Giants. Chris has the Giants. Weasel.
Of course he does.
Homer. Don't.
See, Falcons, Giants. I guess we'll see what Atlanta squad there is. Dominated 2 weeks ago. Not so much this one. So I got the Falcons.
You can have the Falcons all you want. I have the Giants due to all the injuries they have on their O-line. I'm going to gain a gain. I'm creeping up. I'm just saying. Bucks, Saints. Chris has the Saints. Weasel, where do you fall?
I got the Saints, too. It's had a good win against the Steelers, but try doing it 2 weeks in a row. I don't think it'll happen.
You know, I notice how much the Saints defense doesn't exist. But I'm still not convinced enough in the Bucs offense yet. I want Mike Lennon to have one more good game before I believe in him like that. I, too, have the Saints. Texans Cowboys. Weasel.
Let's see. I think the Cowboys, they're in the passing, in the air, and on the ground, they're pretty respectable right now. DeMarco Murray is the key, but I got Dallas.
The key would have been Jadeveon Clowney. He's not there. I see the Cowboys sneaking by. Bills, Lions. Chris has the Lions. Weasel.
Yeah, I'm pretty. EJ Manuel, I think, is going to be benched for this game. So, you said Bills, Lions.
I don't know that EJ Manuel would be benched. Is it injury? Or?
I think it's because you're not playing very good. Type one.
Oh, I think it's too soon to pull the plug on that.
We'll see if, you know, it's reality check kind of thing. I don't know.
I wouldn't go that far, but
you said
way,
Bills, Lions?
Yes, I did.
I got the Lions.
I, too, have the Lions simply because. Yeah, I think it's time for the Bills to hit reality. I agree. Ravens, Colts. Chris has the Colts. Weasel.
Ooh. Man, that's a tough one. I'll actually go Ravens in this one.
You'll go Ravens. I won't. I have a shootout in this game coming up. And if it's a shootout between Andrew Luck and Joe Flacco, you know damn well who I'm going to pick. Teddy Bridgewater. No. Andrew Luck, of course. I have the Colts. I'm creeping up. Steelers, Jags. Okay, I'm not even bothering. Next game is Cardinals, Broncos. Chris has the Broncos. Weasel.
Yeah, Broncos.
You know, this game is going to be closer than everyone thinks, especially with both teams having a bye and a little bit of time to recover. But I, too, have the Broncos. Chiefs, Niners. Chris has the Niners. Weasel.
I guess I'll have the Niners also.
You know, with the complete and total lack of discipline the Niners represent, I picked against them, and they made me pay for it. I almost want to pick them to assure their victory, or pick against them to assure their victory, but yeah, whatever. I got the Niners. Jets, Chargers. Weasel.
Oh, Chris.
Right, Chris has the Chargers.
Jets, Chargers. I have to go with the Chargers. I think their defense is pretty good, and you're going to have most likely Geno out there. So,
because Geno. Next question. Bengals, Pats. Chris has the Bengals.
I'll go for the Pats.
You're a braver man than I do. I don't care how good that defense is for the Pats. The Bengals defense is even better. Brady only has Gronk. Him and Vontaze Burfict will be
90
fun to watch
seconds.
Play against each other. I have the Bengals. Final game, Monday night, Seahawks, Redskins. Chris has the Seahawks. Let me guess.
Yeah, Seahawks, yeah.
If you don't, you're doing it wrong. I think me and Chris are actually matching this week, so I'm not catching up on him. Damn it. But you'll join me in the doldrums soon enough, I think. I'm talking all the smack now because I know I'm losing. Whatever. That'll do it for us this week here on The Student of the Game. And, of course, you will always find my writings on www.ngscsports.com. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at TheSOTG. Find Chris on Twitter at RankinTheSOTG. And, of course, Weasel Weasel.
Yeah, boy.
Stephen Weasel Hurley at Weasel TheSOTG. But, everybody, until next time, class dismissed.